It's just, it's been utterly transformative. It has created an energy in me that just, I don't need anything anymore.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we inspire and activate women in their power, their authenticity, and their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. Fellow ecstatics, perhaps you've noticed in your life sometimes how that kind of spark seems to be missing in your life, that aliveness, that ecstatic self. All of that joy and light that we really feel and are connected to as a child, right? When you look at children, they are lit. They are glowing. They are radiant. This isn't just about our age. There's so many ways that we can reconnect to this spark, that we can cultivate the relationship with this spark, with the fountain of youth, and bring it back into our existence and bring it back into our lives and create our reality with this beautiful aliveness of our divinity. And today we're going to have this wonderful conversation with our glorious and absolutely beautiful guest here today, Amy Lee Westervelt. Amy is a mentor, a mystic, a mother, and a goddess. So let's all welcome Amy here with our hearts. Amy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
So let's talk a little bit about this inner spark. Did you have a personal experience with this? Like, did you notice at some point that this inner spark had faded for you?
Yeah, I think so. Where do I even begin? Where do you ever begin, right? There is no beginning and there is no end. So I think that I've always been a hopeless romantic. From the time I was a little girl, I was obsessed with Romeo and Juliet. And I was obsessed with the question, did Romeo love Juliet because she loved him? Or did he love Juliet because she was Juliet? I just always wondered that. And I've always had this fascination with polarity. And so being the Scorpio stellium and 11th house stellium that I am, I've just always been very intense and very, very much into this idea of polarity. And so it's no surprise that some of the proclivities that I have as a woman, as an adult female, you know, I'm kind of into the BDS scene and all those things, BDSM scene. Why can I not talk today? At first, my inclination was, I'm this romantic, I'm going to throw myself into my submissive self, and I'm going to just be the best sub, and I'm going to have this wonderful, ecstatic relationship with my husband, and I'm going to surrender into the relaxation of receiving and all these things. And you know what they say about the best laid plans, right? It worked for a while. And then my husband, in his, practice of the Golden Dawn, decided to... in his initiatory state, decided to do a 40-day fast, a water fast. And I handled it okay for the first couple of days. After about day 10, it was like I was living with a ghost. He had withdrawn so deeply into himself to do the work he had to do. Looking in hindsight, it probably would have made sense for him to remove himself from the family unit and to do his journaling and, you know, whatever, and go sit on the top of a mountain like men have done for thousands of years. But hindsight is always 20/20, and he didn't do that. And so all of a sudden I had become, you know, trying so hard in my codependency to be this good submissive wife, and not from a place of, I mean, honestly, it was seriously self desire. I want to just put that out to the audience. This was not from a like Christian perspective of trying to be, you know, a good girl. This was very different, but I found that I was not able to receive that pleasure that I needed, or that reciprocation even. And that was really scary. And I remembered you know, so many times you've heard like, as above, so below, as within, so without. And I was like, I've got to figure out, it's not fair to tell him, you need to stop this. I need you. Like, this is an ordeal. And it was important to him. So I had 20 days to figure out what the hell I was doing. And I was like, as within, so without. I know that there is a way to fix this inside of myself. There's a way to deal with this that isn't going to interrupt his ordeal. And that was when I was introduced to the energy of Eros. And I had heard of, you know, the idea of Eros before, but this was the person Eros. This was the energy of Eros who came forward from inside and was like, I'm right here, baby. I've got you. Like, he's doing his thing. I'm still here. And I was like, who are you? And where did you come from? And am I going crazy? And I had been, you know, kind of experimenting with working with the goddess Artemis. She's my patron goddess. Didn't know that at the time. And so I was used to this inner dialogue connection of you know, and just for those of you that are skeptics out there, because I already feel you in the quantum being like, what the hell is she talking about? The way that I like to think of connecting to these ethereal energies is that Source has this one stream of love, right? It's just the frequency of love. Love can be prismatic in millions of different ways, from constructive criticism of your parents to like the ecstatic, you know, ecstasy of whatever, like being head over heels in love with your own Christian Grey or whatever. So every one of those aspects, you can take it and you can mold it into whatever you need it to be. And so when you're speaking to, at least in my humble opinion, you're speaking to the energies of you know, a deity or an entity, you're just taking a bunch of those qualities of love, packaging them into something you can connect with, something that you can see reflected toward you, and having that relationship. So I had done that with Artemis already, and she and I were like besties, and she was helping me work on my self-confidence and all these things. And so I was like, who's this? And I was told in no uncertain terms, this is your inner masculine. This is the partner that was your partner before you were even born. This is your betrothed. This is who you belonged to. Your husband is nice to have, don't get me wrong, and we love him, and that's great that he supports you in all the ways. But you were mine first and you'll be mine last. And I was just like, okay, number one, this is hot. And number two, how do I tap into this? How do I get more of this? And little by little, through, you know, trial and error, through experimentation, I was brought into this world of what I was told is called erogenics, which is pertaining to the study of Eros. And little by little, I cultivated this relationship. And by the time my husband popped out of his fast, which I told him he's never doing again in the family establishment, I was this whole woman. I was so filled up from the inside out that I noticed that all of the desperate energy that I had about, oh my gosh, I need more clients, or why won't the cat sit with me, or how come nobody ever wants to, was gone. And I was magnetizing on a whole different level because I was tapping into that inner divinity frequency in a way that I didn't even know was possible. So I think that answered your question, but if it didn't, let me know.
I love that. And I really love how, I mean, to me, relationships are just like our most incredible teachers, aren't they? Because it'll always be brought up in our relationship. And I love how you said, yeah, he, you know, hindsight 2020 could have gone away from the family, and yet he didn't, right? And here he was, because why? Like, it offered you this opportunity, really, to really reconnect with yourself. And this connection we have with the self is so imperative. And for you, that's been through this aspect of Eros, which is so beautiful. And I really felt it as you were talking about it. I could feel it in my body. I could feel the intimacy and even the sensuality and the like deliciousness of the relationship. And it is really cosmic and quantum, right? These types of relationships we have with ourselves, because Eros is signifying all the different aspects of you. And so you are quantumly entangled with yourself, which gives you this serious feeling of, oh, I'm complete. I'm whole.
Exactly. Right? I love how you put that, because most people are like, wait, so it's you? And it's like, yeah. That's phase three. Let's start with phase one. Let's go through, you know, because it's like those levels of consciousness, right? You've got the level of to me consciousness, which is, it's everybody, you know, everybody does this to me. It's, you know, these things happen to me. It's very victim. And then we move into by me consciousness, which is where most of my clients hang out. I don't know about you, but my clients are in the, I have to do everything. Nobody's going to help me. There's so much resentment there. There's so much like, I'm going to figure it out. Like nobody can help me. It's an identity of suffering that is so hard to break. But then once you break through that, now we get to through me consciousness. Through me consciousness is where that inner divinity, that inner masculine hangs out. And it's like, hey, baby, I'm here to support you. It's not you're doing the masculine things. It's that you're calling on me to do them. And you're receiving my support through, you know, your external beingness. And then once you get through that, then it's like, oh, by the way, you know, that energy inside you, that co-creative energy, that's also you. So then we've got as me consciousness. And so, yeah, like I love that you said that. And I love that you trust your listeners to understand that, because that's brilliant.
Yeah. You know, do they understand that? I'm, you know, not completely sure. And I'm always at the playfulness for this is the joy I like in the physical realm and in the human experience is to play within, yeah, the human experience, right? And the physical reality. And then always be reminding, I always feel like I'm here to inspire and remind people of like who we truly are. And then we're human. And then this is who we truly are. And this is where we're human. And that beautiful dance, we're not separate. It's not separate beings and separate selves. And sometimes we need these kind of like massive hits of information that we may or may not understand, right? So I can definitely speak to the audience here directly and say, you don't have to understand this. That's the beauty of it, is there is an intelligence within you that gets it. And sometimes it's in these moments where we take in information that is just totally abstract. But we stay open-minded, right? We're like, huh, okay, I don't know about that, but all right. I mean, it resonates. It resonates. I don't get it, but it resonates. That's when the doors really open, right? And so I love big conversations like this. I love it when I have people like you where we can have these conversations, drop these big bombs, and let people bring that seed into their body. And let that seed sprout, right? So to the audience, again, you don't have to understand this. Just keep an open mind. Hear it, receive it, feel like what resonates, what maybe sounds really obtuse. And I recommend, you know, you come back to information like this, come back to this episode in like 6 months and see how you hear it differently, because I can almost guarantee that you will. So back to the conversation, right? Because we're having a really fun conversation here. This concept of, you know, for me, I always say there are no others, because like everything in our reality is just simply a projection of ourself. And we have all these opportunities to play with ourself through these seemingly other people, right? Like, so for the example that you brought in with your husband, like that was that opportunity, right? Where you were asking yourself, hey, like, we want to connect deeper here. And so that whole experience you created so that you could set it up to go deeper with yourself, right? And when we start to see our reality like this from a state of I am the creator, creator consciousness, I'm the creator of my reality, wow, all of our power is here, right? Instead of victim, instead of everything is happening to me, like you said so beautifully, hey, I created this. I created this exact moment. It's uncomfortable. You know? However, what is the juiciness here? What is the wisdom? What am I really trying to communicate to myself here now? And to me, that's that aliveness. That's that spark. Because all of a sudden, our world becomes this playground of experiences. And yeah, maybe it is a challenge, right? Maybe it is a, you know, one of those jumpy, bouncy houses that you have to find your way through. And sometimes you're kind of like, wait a second, I just hit a corner. Where am I? I feel lost. Oh, I kind of feel lost. Okay, just breathe, relax. I got in here. I can get out. And then you find your way out and you're like exhilarated, right? What has been your experience with this playground of your reality? And as we speak to this spark, and we're speaking to Eros and the way that you're working, when, as you've owned more and more of this relationship with Eros, with yourself, how has that transpired into your physical reality?
Oh my goodness. How hasn't it? It's just, it's been utterly transformative. It has created an energy in me that just, I don't need anything anymore. I don't feel, I think that I started in the network marketing world, which, like, if you want materialism, you're welcome. Like, literally, it was like everything was about what can I buy? How can I make more money? And I did really well there. I made multi seven figures over there. And that pushed me so far over to the materialism side of the spectrum. And of course, that left me very much in the void and wanting to get completely away from that and sliding all the way to the spirituality side. So that's kind of where I found myself at the beginning of this journey, was like, okay, like, this is just, I mean, how many kimonos can I own here? Like, this is just a little bit too much, you know, like, I have a crystal for every day of the week and I love that. And that's great. But like, where does it come back to the human? Because what I found was I was holding so many helium balloons that my feet couldn't touch the floor anymore. And my friends, you know, who were connected would say to me, like, you're like 30% here and 70% there. And it's a beautiful experience to be connected, but also we come to Earth to experience humanity through the lens, or excuse me, to experience divinity through the lens of humanity. Well, if you're not human anymore, then you lose that groundedness, like kind of when you like jump a battery, right? You got to ground it. Like, you don't have that groundedness. So that channel isn't there. So you're not getting the feedback. So I was kind of in this bouncy, airy, ethereal place for a while. And because energetics is so much about being in the body, that inner masculine Eros, like, he moves around in there. And sometimes he'll say, like, if I'm particularly anxious, like, you're in your head right now, I want you to go down into your portal, into your womb space. And there is an energetic current. You know, I had a shaman coach. She kind of explained this almost like a circuit. And she said, it's like, you know, you've got your heart connects to his heart, connects to his sex, connects to your sex. And that was beautiful. And I understood that. But what I downloaded is that what that channel is your heart in gratitude for the abundance that comes from your inner masculine, which is your provider, which then goes down to his sex, which is where he creates more abundance to bring it up through your body for you to then be thankful for again. So it's gratitude, abundance, gratitude. And so basically you're getting penetrated all day long by this energy of abundance in every sense of the word. And I know that sounds a little grotesque for some of you, and you're welcome. And so for me, that transformative energy, just imagine always feeling like you just had the best orgasm of your life. Like, always feeling like you are kept by the billionaire of the universe, who's exactly your aesthetic desire, who's exactly like you can't do any wrong because you are so perfect. So for me, transformationally, totally revolutionized my marriage. My husband was like on me like a pack of dogs on a three-legged cat. It was just constant, like, and also the receiving, because I was so open to receiving, where before there's this, most women have an air of resentment of like, I don't want anyone to know what I want because I don't want anyone to be able to lord it over my head. And I don't want to be vulnerable and say, I loved this, thank you, because I don't want them to know, right? Like a man, or, you know, or a masculine female or whatever. And so it opened this channel where I was like telling my husband, like, oh my gosh, I love that so much, thank you. And he's like, wait, what? Positive reinforcement? So it was like he was doing more. And clients were all of a sudden in my DMs, like, how do I work with you? I'm like, how did you even find me? I don't know. I heard you on a podcast, or, you know, I saw one post of yours, and like, how much is it? And I'm like, this is so crazy. But it was because energetically, I was just so magnetic suddenly, because I was so filled up internally, literally.
Hmm. Yeah, I do really similar work. I don't have an Eros per se, but I have an inner masculine, and I see him and he's so gorgeous. He's so handsome, and absolutely speaking to him and communicating to him and feeling him, you know, feeling his resonance. And, you know, I always have this beautiful, I'm always telling my clients that, you know, like the masculine wants to support us. Like, please, yes, tell me what you want. Yeah, not from an egotistical. What's that?
That's the reciprocation. Like, yes. With women, like, they don't understand, like, the, you know, how do you give back to the masculine? Let him provide for you.
Yes.
That's what he wants.
Yes. He wants it so badly. And all he needs is clarity. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's funny because we say men don't listen. I say women don't communicate clearly.
Right.
We're like, oh, I just, and all this roundabout information, and the guy's trying to dissect it and figure it out. Just tell him what you want.
They also hold it. They're like, well, I don't want him to know what I want because then he could control me with it. And I don't want him to know that that's what I like. And, but society does a good job, I think, of perpetuating this, right? I mean, you go back to this fable of Adam and Eve. It's like, oh yeah, you know, like they were at like every chance they get, they put us at odds. Like heaven forbid there's any communication or any connection. So I think that that is definitely, you know, something that's just kind of conditioned into all of us. And I want to clarify that Eros is just the name of my inner masculine. That's his name. That's literally what he told me to call him. Mm. So we very well are doing the exact same thing, tapping into the same energy. Yeah.
I mean, when you and I were connecting before this call, it was very obvious that we very much work in a very, very similar way to me when you were discussing. But I love just then how you were saying, yeah, we're taught to not have that communication, right? Because that's our inner power, right? The divine trinity, the mother, the father, and the child, you know, the feminine, the masculine, and the innocence. Right. And you know, when those three are together, what can't we create, you know?
Right. And we can't be subjugated. We can't be controlled. Society can't tell us all the ways. Now, all of a sudden, what are the advertisers going to do? What are the diamond people going to do? You know, like what all of these things that no longer control us because we recognize that divinity that's inside of us. I mean, I think you and I would agree that we've probably been murdered for this work many lifetimes over. Because this is in complete opposition of the service to self paradigm that this planet seems to constantly find itself under.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And it is, you know, it is the relationship with self. That's ultimately what it is. You know, it is the relationship with self. It is a deepening of intimacy, a deepening into the communication within ourself. And both of, yes, the desires, the heart's desires, you know, what we really want, and then our ability to magnetize them, to create them. What steps do I need to do to make that happen? You know, where is it coming from? Like, it's just such a delicious process. It's so enjoyable, I have to say, Amy, to speak to somebody that really understands this. I feel like almost this conversation is really for you and I.
I know, I do too. Like, okay, so we're not crazy. Like, it's just such a deepening, I feel like. Yeah.
So beautiful. And so let's bring some solid tips here in for the audience, because I do want to give them something they can take away from just the download that they're receiving right now.
Right.
What tips would you say somebody could start to cultivate this relationship with their masculine?
I think a big part of it is acknowledging that you want one, right? Like, a lot of us have gone through our lives feeling like, I don't need anybody. I don't want to connect to anything. If I connect to something, it's going to let me down. And so we've been very closed off to this. So I think the first step is devotion. And what that looks like for my clients is like literally get up every morning and sit there and just listen. Say, you know, hey, what do you want me to know? What can I do to support you? What will make you feel loved? And just sitting with that a little bit. I think that that's really the first step, because it's like any relationship, you know, it's like we're not moving in together until we make sure that we're a good fit. And yes, this is an aspect of yourself, but it's also an aspect of yourself that you've kind of been ignoring and maybe repressing for a while. And so being able to step back into that divine union, it requires a little bit of courtship. So I think that's really going to be the first thing. And then if they really just want to like get a feel for like, okay, well, what's his energy like? One of the ways you can find the energy of your inner Eros, and again, that's just mine's name, I just want to clarify, you can look on your birth chart. You can look at your Mars. That's your masculine aspect. So if you want to get a feel for what like his sun sign is, then you can look at the Mars to get a feel for who he is and maybe even what his physical characteristics are. I tell my clients, go make a Pinterest board. Go put like what his hands look like and like what it, you know, and feel into all of that energy. And then if you look at your descendant, which is across from your ascendant, just follow that line straight across on your birth chart. That's going to be the flavor of your relationship. So if you want to get a feel for how you guys mesh together and the way that you communicate, in my case, it's Gemini. So it's very much intellectual. I like a lot of banter. He and I just go at it all day. And it's like, well, how come I have to do that? Because I said so. But why did you say so? Do I need to tell you why I said so? Because if I tell you why I said so, you're drinking another bottle of water. Okay, never mind. I don't need to know, right? So there's very much like that banter that gets created. And I will tell you that when you start doing this, it's like reading tarot. If any of you guys have ever read tarot or oracle cards or anything, it always feels like a lie. It always feels like a lie. You're literally like, I'm about to say this and I know that this is true. And I'm terrified that they're going to say, no, that doesn't apply to me. And every single time it does, because there's no internal mechanism that goes, and this is truth, because it's always going to feel silly. So when you're starting to do this, you may be like, am I just talking to myself? The answer, of course, is yes. But there's so many channels that's going through that you're accessing a level of your subconscious. Because here's the thing. There's a part of you that is so deeply in love with you. Yes, it's been repressed. Yes, it's been told, you know, we don't do that. You know, you should care about other people in all of the ways. But there is a part of you that is like obsessed with you. And that part of you wants to love you. And when you allow it to show its love, the repercussions for the rest of your life are out of this world. So stepping into devotion with this energy, allowing it to show itself to you, he'll tell you his name if you ask him. There's so much to be revealed. And it's like one of my clients described it. She did a controlled ketamine experiment. And she said that she met her. She was so excited. And she's like, he's on the other side of the veil. I'm in the 3D and he's in the 5D. And he's letting me know he's on that side. I'm on this side. But we're one entity. And that was all the confirmation I needed.
Yeah, it's really the twin flame, isn't it? You know, mm-hmm. Twin flame is such
a trend, like
word,
it's like
in the spiritual
thing.
Community,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it is. It's
alignment.
Just, yeah, the polarity of love, which we can also experience with a person here in the physical reality too. And it's not just one that could, you know, we can experience our twin flame like with multiple people in multiple different situations and relationships, because it's just the polarity of love, you know, the vesica Pisces that is love coming, you know, through our experience. But yeah, I really loved how you said, because this I feel like is really important. You know, you're going to feel like you're talking to yourself, and you are. And it's so fun and delicious. And you know, when I was a little girl, I had all these beings around me and I would have these conversations with them. And of course, it was called my imaginary friends, which pretty much broke my heart because they were not imaginary. I saw them with my eyes and I didn't understand how, you know, what do you mean they're imaginary? Like, I'm having full-blown conversations with them. But to the outside world, I was just talking to myself. And that really deeply rooted some, you know, some trauma around like talking to yourself and like, you know, you're just making this up and these are imaginary. And so I want to say that to the audience, because we are taught that when we have these conversations with ourselves that like, oh my gosh, you're crazy or you're imagining it or that's not real. And that's absolutely a program that is given to us, and it's not truth. Because when you look at children and you look at that innocence, they're just doing it and they're in the joy of it. And if I were to go back to my young version of that me now, I've done it several times and seen her, she just doesn't get why anybody would ever call it imaginary. Like, she's just like, what do you mean? Like, there's such an innocence in her experience, and it's just truth for her. So yes, it can feel like we're talking to ourselves. And absolutely, as you work that muscle, so to speak, again, that muscle of your innocence, it absolutely transpires into this, just like, I'm sure Amy will agree to this, the conversations I have with my higher self, with other people's higher selves, are so hilarious, so insightful, so gobsmacking, so jaw-dropping, so holy cow, I'm crying my eyes out because that's so beautiful and such an expression of love. There's so much beauty in those communicative spaces with our self, capital S.
Absolutely, 100%. And the more that we tap into that, the more solace we can take in this human experience. I mean, if you knew that you were going to go through the worst, the scariest gauntlet, but you knew that everybody was on your side, what would stop you? If you're going to make it through this, you know, like I had a psychic tell me, I think it was a couple weeks ago. She's like, your guides want you to know they are so proud of you. They are so proud of you. You did it. Like you found it, whatever, you know, I don't know what it is, but they're saying you found it. You figured it out. And, you know, the way that my chart was, like, for the last 5 years, I was just getting, like, creamed. And I've got 5 little kids to take care of, and one of them has special needs. Oh, yeah. I told you. I like my husband a lot. And so we had, like, a really tough time, you know. And she's like, your guides, they were like, if she doesn't make it, she'll repeat it next life. It's okay. We think she can do it. We think she can handle all of this at once. And then they were like, she did it. She totally did it. And that was just such, like, what better confirmation do you need than that? That, like, yeah, you could go through it all, but you know what? No matter what, you are so loved. Like, what can trump love? I don't think anything can. And so when you can access that on a daily basis, every moment, you can get up in the morning and be like, hello, gorgeous. Oh my God, look at you. Like, I've never seen anything so, like, when people look at themselves in the mirror, and they think they look good, that's your inner partner. That's your partner saying you look good. That's you being observed from the inside out. And the cool thing is you can totally switch around. You can be your inner masculine and see yourself and observe that beauty in the external feminine in a way that, you know, you don't do on a day-to-day basis. Just be like, I just want to look at how magnificent she is. And to be able to see that from the other side, it just, it's a whole other level of connectedness that I really pray the world wakes up to, because we're talking, this is the cure for disease. This is the cure for war. This is the cure for, you know, all of these things. This is the answer to get us back to that service to others paradigm, because I believe the highest level of love is love of self, because that's the hardest one. And when you get there, like, and that's why I think I might be in my last earth spin here, because I think I've almost got it. You know, do you feel like that? Do you feel like you might be in, like, your, like, one of your last iterations of earth school?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother. I'm tempted to go into that, but I'm going to stop right there. That's a whole nother conversation. Yeah, and, you know, it's just when we talk about challenges and the things that we experience in life, and I love how you say to have that support and love. Because it's one thing to have somebody tell you, oh, you're so supported and you're so loved, your angels, your guides, your beings, everybody's loving on you. And it's a whole other thing to actually hear them and feel them and experience them. You know, like, one of my favorite things is if I'm having a day where I'm like, I just don't know. Like, is this what, you know, and I'm having that self-doubt, and one of my gene keys, one of my shadows is inadequacy. So it surfaces as the spiral comes around. And it's just so beautiful the way the universe will just bring me so much love in that moment. It's like if I have just a smidgen of inadequacy, I get so many reflections out of the blue. People are calling me, telling me all these things. There's my higher self, all this is just like pouring love on top of me. And I absolutely didn't always have that. But through this connection that we speak here today, having that is like, you know, it's like the little kid that falls down and gets a little scared, right? It's like, and they're just, the parents just come over and grab them, right? And just love on them. And they just soften. They just soften into themselves and they soften into that love and they soften into being held and soften and being nurtured. And they're just like, it's okay. It's okay. And like in a minute, they're like up and running again, aren't they? They like forgot that they fell. They forgot that their knee hurts. They forgot all about it because love is so powerful. Yum. So delicious. So my love, how can people find you, connect to you?
Yeah. So you can go to aerogenics.com. There's all kinds of yummy stuff there. And then you can find me on the socials. I think my, hold on, I'm going to give you my obnoxious Instagram handle here. Gratitude_and_glamour.
Sweet. Love it. Okay. So we'll go into our activation now. And just a reminder for everybody, if you're driving or you're doing something, you can always come back to this. And you can also just, you know, listen with your eyes open. Again, you will still receive the energies. Trust the process. Trust in your own innate intelligence. There's nothing that you need to feel or experience here. Everything that is happening is absolutely perfect for you. Okay. And those who do have access to go ahead and close their eyes, let's do that. And let's just start by breathing in through our noses and out through our mouths. As we're breathing in, we're calling in the essence of self. And as we're exhaling, we're releasing, we're softening, we're surrendering. Breathing that essence of self into your being, into your body. Exhaling, letting go. Breathing that essence of self into any tension, any resistance in your body. Exhaling, letting go. And dropping your awareness down into your pelvis, down into the seat of your power, breathing all the way down, feeling what you're sitting on, feeling the connection of your body to your chair, to the seat, and just breathing with your awareness there. Inviting your body to soften, inviting your being to open to the divinity within yourself, open to this communication, this connection that is available to you, opening to your masculine, opening to your feminine, opening to your child. Breathing and opening, really setting that intention. Your intention is powerful. Your intention is powerful. Setting the intention that as you breathe in, you expand and you open. As you exhale, you release, you let go. Your intention is powerful, my love. Your intention is so incredibly powerful. Trust yourself. Breathing into that pelvis as we are opening this space of yourself, opening to the connection of your being. There's nothing you need to feel. Just trusting in this space, trusting in your body. Breathing, expanding, opening, exhaling, letting go, releasing. Yes, yes, yes. Giving yourself permission to connect to the divinity within. Giving yourself permission to connect to the divinity within. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, my love. Yes, you have permission here now to connect to the divinity within you. Yes, yes, yes. You have permission now to connect, to feel this intimacy, a love that you hold inside of yourself. Breathing in, beautiful. And I'm going to bring in some sounds. Just remember just to breathe into your body. Allow the sound into your space. trust in yourself, as always. Breathing in, maintaining your awareness at your pelvis as we're calling in the divinity, calling in the connection of self here now, calling in the connection of self here now. Nice deep breath into your body. As your hearts are expanding, as the electromagnetic field of your heart is expanding, as the heart chakra front and back is opening, opening with your breath, opening to reveal more of your divinity, to reveal more of your love within, opening, opening, opening. Beautiful. Yes, 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 my love. Yes, yes, yes. You are so powerful. You are so beautiful. You are love. You are love. You are love. Excellent. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is, by the perfection of three. The divine trinity, it is complete. Aho. You may open your eyes, come back into this space, feel your body. Sometimes it's helpful just to kind of rub the body, rub the legs. Just kind of connect back in if you kind of float it away. Amy, thank you so much for being here, my love. I honor you in so much of your light and the messages that you bring and the energy, the vibration that you are holding for everybody here in this human experience. Thank you so much for being you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Lara.
And thank you to the audience, the fellow ecstatics, for being here today. Again, I really inspire you and invite you to come back to this conversation 6 months from now. Notice how you hear it differently. And as always, please share this episode, and we will see you next time on the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Much love.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.